الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى، وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram and beloved elders and brothers, we had been discussing charity that is given out on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the different circumstances that people be in. Sometimes people have no wealth at all, they yet spend the part of Allah, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes the people give preference over themselves. They are in need. يُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ قَصَاصًا. They give others preference over themselves and they be needy. We had cited some examples of such people. Similarly, we find people that have wealth, they fulfill their needs and they still spend. Alhamdulillah, that's also a great ni'mat, that you spend the excess wealth. And obviously Allah Ta'ala save us from the fourth category, where there are people who have the wealth sufficient enough to fulfill our needs, and still you do not want to spend the excess wealth in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point to remember also is this: it's not the amount that you spend. It's the spirit with which you give, and it is the qurbani and the sacrifice with which you give. Person has 100 million, he gives 1 million. 1 million is a large amount. Another person has 10 rand, and from the 10 rand he gives 5 rand. 5 rand compared to 1 million can't compare. But yet he has given 50% of his wealth in the part of Allah. And this person has given 10%. So the sacrifice that you make of your wealth also greatly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man is rewarded according to his sacrifice as well. Together with that, with the spirit of giving, person gives with ikhlas and sincerity. Like it is mentioned, you give with the right hand, the left hand does not know. Somebody was mentioned, if you give with the left hand, the right hand does not know. What is meant here, you give abundantly in the part of Allah. Haqaza wa haqaza wa haqaza, in some riwayat. From every side, you are spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nuridu minkum jaza'u wa la shukura. This is the spirit. We do not need any recompense from you. Wa la shukura. We do not need even your saying jazakallah and gratitude and appreciation. We are spending li wajhillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that spirit. History is replete with so many incidents where people had spent when they did not even have. We had spoken about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of his companions, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, how she had spent in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhuma, both of them on one occasion had taken a vow. Their children had fallen sick, they had taken a vow that they will fast 3 days for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had nothing to start their fast. They had no food. But yet, despite that, they began to fast. After they fasted for the first day, there was nothing to eat in the house. As Ali radiallahu anhu went out and he met a Jewish person who had a bale of wool, taken it from him on the understanding that he'll spin it into yarn, and he will give him 3 sa'as, which was a particular type of a weight of wheat or corn, for that bale of wool. So 1/3 of it was done by the Khadija Fatima radiallahu anha on the first day, and according to the promise, the Jewish person gave them 1 sa' of corn or of wheat, and she cooked 5 rotis with that. There are many great lessons here along the way. The male goes out to seek the rozi. Here the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is helping her husband, but in the confines of the home to assist the husband. And when this earning comes and they make the roti and they are fasting in the time of iftar, Ali reads his salat and comes back, and while they were just about to partake of the meal, the morsel, this is in the hands of Ali radiallahu anhu, a tap comes on the door that I am a very destitute beggar, please help me, O family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give you from the foods of Jannat. Now imagine, they are fasting, that's the only food that they have. Ali radiallahu anhu consults with Fatima radiallahu anha, and after mutual consultation is decided that they will give all those 5 rotis to that poor person. Fasting, in the state of need, in the state of hunger, the time has come now, little children, but they make the sacrifice and give all those rotis to them. After all, it's the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quran has come down for them. يُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَسَاسَةٌ. This is the picture. The second day, same thing happens, that is Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha spins that wool into yarn. Thereafter, the person gives that one sa. She again bakes 5 rotis. They're fasting again for the second day without eating on the first day. And after the Maghrib Salah, they sit down to partake of the meal. Tap comes on the door. That I am a very poor person, poor, hungry person. Please assist me. And again, they give all those 5 rotis to that person for the second time, second day of fasting, and they are hungry. Third day, similar thing happens, and she does that part of her work, and she bakes those 4, 5 rotis, one for her, one for her husband, 1, 2 for the children, and 1 for the male slave. And when the time comes to eat and partake of it, there's a tap on the door. This time it is a prisoner. Says, I am a prisoner, please help me and assist me. And for the third consecutive day, they give away that rotis and stay hungry to this poor person. So thereafter, they become very weak, and they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sees his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein, in the state of weakness, he's very worried and perturbed. Then he sees Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha also. He comes and sees Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. She also, her stomach has reached virtually her back because of not having food. She is engaged in Nafil Salat. Thereafter, it's mentioned, Jibreel Salatu Salam comes and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was happy with y'all. And then this verse is revealed, وَيُتِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينَهُ وَيَتِيمُ وَأَسِيرًا. That they fed the people, poor people, miskeen, yateem, the orphans, the poor person, and the prisoners, عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly appreciated this and is pleased with all. Here we see what state of need there was in their family and what sort of sacrifice they made. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased. So they gave preference of other people over their own needs. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays you here with this glad tidings. What can be more better than a glad tidings from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala versus the Quran revealed from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their sacrifices. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repays the person right in this dunya. There's an incident about a woman, elderly woman, who was staying in the wilderness. Once Hazrat Hassan, Imam Hassan, and Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Jafar were en route going for Hajj. And while they were going for Hajj, their camels got lost with their provisions. And they were very in state of hunger, etc. They saw one tent pitched up there of Bedouins in the jungle. They went there and asked, they saw an elderly lady there. They asked if you have anything to eat, meaning anything to eat or drink. She said, yes, I have one she-goat here. You can milk the goat and take the milk and drink it. After they had milked the goat and divided the milk within themselves, they were still hungry. They asked her, if you have anything else. She says, yes, I have this one little goat here. If you want, you can slaughter it and I will cook it for you. This is the only thing that I have, this goat. Only thing she has there, right there in the wilderness. But here making ikram of the visitors, making ikram for those people that are going for Hajj. She has it slaughtered, she cooks it, and she feeds them. These people tell them that we are Hashimis from the Bani Hashim tribe and we are going for Hajj. One day when you come to Medina Munawara, we will repay you. We all know such incidents. When will the day come and they'll go to Medina Munawara? How will they repay them? How will they recognize them? How will they know them? It's not a day of social media where you press the buttons and get through from one corner of the earth to the other. But tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes upon himself to repay you. How and when and which way, that we'll hear now. She says, when her husband comes back, she tells him, this is what has happened. And her husband reproaches her and tells her, how did you know that those were from the Bani Hashim tribe? What proof did you have? How did you know? She remains quiet and he also remains quiet thereafter. Then obviously things turn and become extremely poor. And they go to Medina Munawara to look for work, something where they can sustain themselves. And the type of work they had got was collecting the dung of the camels and selling it. She began to do this, and while she was doing this, she bypassed one house, and the voice came from that house that, oh, so and so, do you recognize us? She says, no, I don't recognize you. She said, we are your guests that had come to you, and you had fed us with that goat milk and that goat. Today is the day that will repay you. They called her inside, sent the servant to call her inside. Even after that, she does not recognize them. That was Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, for that little thin goat that he had, repays it with 1,000 goats. 1,000, this is the generosity. 1,000 goats in lieu of that one goat that she slaughtered. And 1,000 gold coins. gives her 1,000 gold coins for helping her, helping him in that occasion. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person makes a sacrifice and helps and gives presents to others, Allah ta'ala gives them the recompense in the dunya. Then he sends a servant to his younger brother, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Hussein, upon inquiry, he also gives him 1,000 goats. 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. Dinars is gold coins. Thereafter, they send them to Hazrat Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who inquires from them, what did my two companions give you? And then he doubles that. He gives them 2,000 goats and 2,000 gold coins. So this lady now has 4,000 goats. Imagine, 4,000 goats for that goat that she had sacrificed in entertaining the guests. And 4,000 gold coins she has. And then she goes with it to her house and to her husband and tells her husband that this is in lieu of the thin goat that we have there. 4,000 goats and 4,000 gold coins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes pays a person right in this dunya for the sacrifices that he made, and is according in proportion to the sacrifices they made. It was not a very big goat or a herd of goats, a whole lot of goats. No, just one single thin goat. She gave it because that was the only thing that she had. And she sacrificed everything that she had to entertain the guests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repays her in this way. How they had met her, she did not have in the wildest dreams, I will meet these people, I have their dresses. She doesn't recognize them after seeing them. But this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system at work, that the person, Allah ta'ala, repays that person for whatever he spent in his path. One occasion we find Abdullah ibn Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's sitting at an orchard in Medina Munawwara, and the person, the guardian of that orchard, is an Abyssinian slave. He's sitting there and watching the slave. The slave sits down to eat, and there's a dog before him. He opens his food that he has, takes one morsel and gives one morsel to the dog. Takes one morsel and he gives one morsel to the dog. Equally, the morsel is as big as the morsel that he is taking. So Abdullah ibn Jafar radiallahu anhu looks at this and he's surprised. And he asks this person, that who is your owners? He says, my owner is from the family and descendants of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, today I see a very strange thing that you are doing. He said, what is that? He said, I see you take one morsel and you give one morsel to this dog. He says, yes, this dog is in my companion for many, many years. And it's only fair that I look after him and I feed him properly. Thereafter, he tells him, you could have given something of inferior quality to this dog. You should not have to share that very food that you are eating. He said, no, what will I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when I am questioned that there was one hungry creature sitting before you? You were eating and he was hungry. What answer would I give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As Abdullah ibn Jafar radiallahu anhu was very impressed by the generosity of this person, by the kindness of this person, the compassion of this person, the consciousness of this person, of being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what did he do? He went to the owners of the orchard. And he asked the owners that he wished to buy this orchard. They said, no, we'll give it to you without any cost. He said, no, I'd like to pay for it. And upon insisting, he paid for the orchard. Then he said, I would like to purchase the slave also from you. They said, we don't like to part with the slave. He come up with us since childhood, we have brought him up. But since you are insisting, we'll sell him to you as well. So he purchases the orchard, he purchases the slave as well. And thereafter, he goes to this person and tells him that I have purchased this orchard. He said, Mubarak to you, very nice bargain. He says, no, I've purchased it. I've purchased you as well. He says, I'm sad as from parting with my masters. But then he says, I give both of this to you. This, you are free and this orchard is for you. Orchard is for you. Now imagine, one moment this person is working in that orchard. The next moment he becomes the owner of the orchard. If it's the first person of this time and age, then everything will change. Maybe his walking style will also change, his dressing will change, his attitude will change, way from way to way, from rags to riches. But what does that person do? Subhanallah. What was the spirit of those people? He says, I call you to bear witness that I make this an endowment and a waqf for the descendants of Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Look at his generosity. A slave, a Abyssinian slave working. But look at the generosity in his heart. I make you a witness that I make this a waqf on the descendants of the family of Usman radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned that Abdullah ibn Jafar goes, and while he's going, he's beseeching and making dua for this person, astonished and admiring the generosity of this person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created them in such a manner that they used to give preference to other people over themselves. And they were great spenders in this ummah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu, a very, very wealthy person. Great history about him, how his life changed, etc. He was a great muhaddis, he was a faqih, he was a mujahid, and he was a Sufi. And Allah granted him great piety and great amount of generosity. such amount of generosity that you can't even imagine. Says one occasion when I was going for Hajj, people around him told him that we would also like to come for Hajj and accompany you. He said, yes, on one condition. On one condition, that you take all your purses, all the purses and wealth that you have and the capital that you have in the way, you give it to me. You give it to me. In other words, giving the impression that he will spend from there. So he collected all the wealth from everyone and put it in a bag, and he went for Hajj. And on the way, he kept spending for everyone, providing conveyance, feeding them, etc. Till they came to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they did the Hajj. Then he told them, if your families have asked you to buy anything from the bazaars for them, as you know, the list carry on. If you want something, require something, then go and purchase it. And he paid for that. Any presents or gifts or necessities when you wish to purchase, he paid for that as well. Then he brought them to Madinah al-Munawwara. And when he came to Madinah al-Munawwara, he paid for all the expenses. Told him the same thing there. Anything you wish to purchase on behalf of the family, like we have from the wife, children, etc., neighbors, friends, cousins, aunties, everyone, purchase for them. And he paid for that as well. When they came home, then he held a sumptuous meal for them all. And he gave a present to them all. And then he took out those purses. Took out those purses. So-and-so's purse was here. There's his name. Here's his purse. Intact, like how he had given it to him, he had given it back to them. He had spent, some of you are smiling, it seems, you have the wish, how we wish, that we were with them as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not beyond his power to create such people, even in this zamana. This zamana, there's one person in Johannesburg that I know, that he has sponsored, I think, 18 people from his personal wealth for Hajj. I met a friend of mine, I said, yeah, mashallah, you're for Hajj this year. He said, so and so has sponsored me and my family. So the spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, even in this age and in this era. And apart from that, one is the people spend. This was just one incident. Another incident, Abdullah ibn Mubarak is going for Hajj. While he's going for Hajj, he's following the caravan when a dead hen falls down and a girl comes out from somewhere, takes it away and goes back. He becomes curious. He goes in and inquires, what was this all about? She says that I'm a yatim and we have nothing to go by. We are hungry. We are very hungry and we have no food. So we look for those dead animals that they throw away. It's permissible for us in the Sharia to partake of it because of our starvation. Says Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu, at 2,000 dinars, 2,000 gold coins. He asked his servant to count it, leave 200 for our trip to go back and give the balance to this girl. He postpones and cancels his trip for going to the Baytullah in order to assist this person. We will be more rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you assist this person than going to the Baytullah. And obviously it was a Nafil Hajj and carrying out the Nafil Hajj. So this was the generosity of Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu. He goes to one town, Ruqiyya. He goes there and there's a certain person who used to come and ask him some masail. He finds out that person is imprisoned. Why? Because he had a debt and he could not pay the debt. He goes to the creditor, he searches out for the creditor and finds out what was the debt of this young person. They tell him it was 10,000 dinars, 10,000 gold coins. He says, I will pay you this 10,000 gold coins on one condition, that you do not expose my name to this person. Do not expose my name to this person and you free that person. That person, the creditor, accepts him and he says that he pays that 10,000 gold coins and that person is freed. When he's freed, he comes and looks for Abdullah ibn Mubarak because he heard he was there and he tells him, he says, yes, I heard you were in prison. He said, yes. Does not tell him that I paid on your behalf. No. He says, I also was making dua that you must be freed. It was only after he had passed away that creditor had said it was a condition between me and Abdullah ibn Mubarak not to expose his name. Only now I expose his name. Was Abdullah ibn Mubarak who came and paid your debt. Paying the debt off of people and people not even knowing this was the spirit of spending in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the du'as that a person get, sadaqah and charity, got so many virtues. The du'as that a person get, we cannot fathom and comprehend. One person, one mufti from Madinah al-Munawwara, sent us this information that one person had seen in a dream that he must phone, he seen a certain cell phone in the dream, he must phone that number and call, take that person for Umrah. He saw it once, he saw it for the second time, in this regard, saw it for the third time, said, no, there is some real meaning to this dream, and he phoned that number. When he phoned that number and contacted that person and told him that person was in Riyadh, that I have been instructed to take you for Umrah, that person began to laugh mockingly at him. Taking me for Umrah, I don't even perform namaz, and you will take me for Umrah. He said, yes, I am serious, this is what I have seen, and I want to fulfill this. He says, he goes, he gets him, and the person comes, and he says this person was a very sinful person. He was far away from deen. Later on it was even established that he used to take part in even some money, some things, or some drugs, etc. as well. He says when he comes and makes the tawaf, the Baytullah, he begins to cry and begin to repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, where you have brought me, a sinner like me? And he carries out the umrah. After he carries out the umrah, he tells this person, give me a chance to at least read 2 rakats of salat here. Person reads 2 rakats of salat, and in the first or second rakat, he goes into sajda and he doesn't get up. His life is gone. He passes away in the state of sajda after umrah in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah. This is the death that he gets. A person who was a drunkard, person that was not reading salat, person that was far from deen. This person became very curious. He got in touch with the family and inquired, what was the action that this person carried out that he got such a mubarak maut? Those people said, well, this person, he was far from deen, and he was away from he was in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there was one deed that he had. Whenever he used to purchase something, then we had a widow staying next door to us and some yatim children. He used to come there, purchase it for them as well, and leave it at the door and say, take this for you and for your children. For that widowed woman, who nobody knows nowadays in the areas, nobody is concerned about the person that's a yatim, he used to look after them. He used to look after them, and this is what he used to do. And in return, that woman used to say, may Allah Ta'ala give you husni khatima. May you pass away upon iman. May your death be a mubarak death. He said, yes. This is the dua that he got from this woman. So the duas that you get when you assist a person sometime, person is in dire circumstances, one dua comes out, reaches the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his heart, and this person's life is transformed. That is apart from the real rewards that you get. This is apart from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this world as well. InshaAllah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana.